I'm J.R. Phillips. I'm the one that won't shut up, and yeah, you can't make me, okay?
And I'm Nico Harlequendon. I'm the one who took notes, lit them on fire, and then started a completely separate new project instead.
And welcome to BAM! Now you know everything!
I was going to talk about how we're both left-handed and how it's a minor inconvenience all the time.
Still?
Yeah, I mean, you have to like think about like it, how the world is like set up, like door handles, for example. You always have to use pretty much, if it's a pull or push, like a handle, it's a righty. If you try to use your left hand on a doorknob, or a door handle or whatever, you don't have the muscle there. So you're like, ugh. It's like weird. It's a weird thing. You're making me feel like it's not a thing for you. Maybe all these people are just opening doors for you all the time. I don't know, but no, it's but a thing.
I told you, okay? I'm strong, so I can open a door with my left hand. It is on the wrong. You have to go cross body.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Cross body. The serration on butter knives. You can't, it's only, it's made to use your right hand leaning wise. You just never noticed this.
What a gothic repressed world we live in. Not unchanging butter knives for millennia.
It's crazy to me that you're not worked up about this right now.
I think that you are the perfect illustration of why lefties mostly die early, because it is truly an inconvenience and stuff like that. Maybe I've just set up my life so that I'm using left-handed versions of things.
You have like left. I'm looking at your doorknob right now, dude.
I don't think I have a left doorknob, but I do still. I don't know. It's not. I've opened doors with both hands.
Right. No, what I'm saying is I can do pretty much everything with my left that I can do with my right.
Like, I just don't think of it, I guess.
I thought this was going to be like a funny bit, us going back and forth.
And you're
just like, you're crazy. I don't know what you're saying.
You're not crazy. No, you're not crazy. The last time I was inconvenienced by something was when a well-meaning teacher in elementary school filed away that I was left-handed and tried to be helpful and gave me the left-handed scissors, but they never worked as well as the right-handed ones. So
did you just cut with your right hand or did you cut with your left?
I would cut with both hands because school scissors. Okay. So the school scissors that we had, do you know, like the rubber handled ones that cover the entire shears? Are metal, mm-hmm. and they're uncomfortable anyway. Like, no matter what was going to happen, they were going to cut into your little fingies.
Yeah. And I hated cutting growing up. I still don't love the idea of cutting. I think that's why when I do something crafty, it can't be a craft that needs perfect lines and edges. Okay. I'm not going to do it. I can make a mossy mirror portal because it's abstract. It's fun. There's no straight cutting I need to do. Or if there is, I can kind of hide it. You know, like a tree is curvy. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, like that kind of thing. But I can't. I'm not a good cutter.
What about a paper cutter?
like one of those.
The guillotine. Yeah, I have one of those.
Well, those are also dangerous. Geared for righties, right? Because you have to use your right arm to go down.
Yep.
So. While you're doing that, you have to, whether you think about it or not, you have to think a extra second.
Free my mind, Jess.
You have to think just like an extra second to make sure that things are going the correct way, right? Whereas like a right-handed person is going up to the paper cutter, they're not taking that extra second because their brain is automatically motorizing that side of their body all the time. So they're just going up and they're going, shh. They don't get that weird feeling in their wrist. Okay. We get maybe that slight weird feeling in our wrist or our grip strength where we're like, I haven't done this unless you're paper cutting all the time. You know,
I have for a few years, but not all. I mean, I
had to all the time as a teacher
for school.
And
And
I'll still get that feeling in my wrist of like, I would love to be using the other hand right now.
Never had that feeling.
That's so maybe you're just ambidextrous. Can you write
maybe.
With your right hand? Good.
Yeah, but it looks like shit.
Okay, then you can. Yeah. So that's a lie. You can't say, this is what kids say to me all the time. I can write with both hands, and then they show me that what they've written, and it's garbage.
No. What about like frisbees and baseballs and stuff like that? That I'm passively like ambidextrous.
Yeah, I can throw. I actually sometimes prefer to throw with my right hand. And a lot
maybe
of
your ambi.
I definitely used to claim it until my teacher made me write with my right hand and it looked like squiggly, scraggly awfulness. But a lot of lefties are switch like on baseball, like switch hitters. And I'm sure frisbee, there's a term for it. I don't know what it is.
Switch tossers,
switch flinger, flickers. I don't know. Just, you know, different things like that.
Do you really get like a nanosecond moment where you're like, wish it was the other side?
No. You don't perceive it, right?
Okay.
It's an imperceptible thing, but it is that feeling that you'll get. And it might be because my carpal tunnels just suck because of writing all the time and drawing and, you know, whatever, gaming. Clicking,
you're disabled.
You know? Well, I guess so, you know, I don't know. But you'll get like a thing that happens. I got to do what I did last time. I got to.
Now I'm going to be checking. I'm going to be checking when I'm doing random things. I'm going to be checking to see.
Do you have that nanosecond or are you doing it? Just don't mind me.
I will also say we have at least one listener that is also left-handed, so we can ask him.
Maybe the lefties all know each other. We're all gathering now.
I think so. Both of my parents were left-handed.
Really? I'm the only lefty in my family.
Really?
I mean, my grandfather was left-handed. He passed away, but nobody else that I know.
One grandparent on each side was left-handed.
Wow, so you were like destined for leftyhood.
Is that how Mendel squares work? Is that what those are called? Those like genetic
stuff?
Yeah. Punnett squares?
You could tell me anything about science and I would be like, wow, you're so smart. I believe you.
Oh my gosh. Who knows? Very cool. I'm thinking of things now. You know what I can't do? Well, it's not made for lefties or righties, though. They're perfectly symmetrical. So it's just like painting your own nails. Like,
oh,
I can't use my other hand, my right hand.
Because that's like you would have to sit down and write. Like that would be like writing, right?
Yeah.
If I'm it's the same function, motor function.
Yeah.
I cannot. I don't think even a righty could paint their right hand as well as their left.
Wasn't like Picasso or Jackson Pollock or one of those abstract painters, weren't they also like ambidextrous?
I question anybody that says they're ambidextrous because I have yet to meet one. I have yet to meet one that can do everything perfectly the same, both hands, all the time.
Yeah.
So I
use a lighter with my right hand.
Yeah, I can.
Can't light a candle.
Yeah.
Or other things.
Well, I use my left.
Your left?
Yeah.
That's awkward.
Why?
Maybe I've been a righty all along and my parents just conditioned me to be.
Oh, I hate this. I hate the righty of it all.
Don't like this. Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
I like how we just had lighters at the ready.
We like candles. Do you have a candle at your desk too?
No.
No. It's in my other desk, actually. We just like to keep a lighter on every floor, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Because just in case.
Yes.
Just in case you need a lighter somehow.
Survival in this day and age.
Who knows? Who knows, you know? With everything going the way it's going, you might need to start, you know, being a supply person. What do they call?
Merchant? A trader?
Well, yes, but I mean doomsdayer.
A prepper.
A prepper.
Yes.
I made myself too high now. Okay, I feel better now.
I feel, will I ever be comfortable? Who knows?
We'll get there.
No, just with everything going on, and I don't think it, you know, it hurts to get a little prep. Now, am I saying bunker status? No.
What if I had the money?
I would if I had the patience and the survival want. Okay. I don't, you know, it's like, I don't necessarily need to survive and help rebuild stuff. Like, I do like that idea, but no one's going to listen to me about how to do everything. I have a dystopia utopia in my brain. I don't have a actual thing. And then I'm going to have to go. I have macaroni and cheese. I have Kraft. I'll survive.
Forever.
About a month. About a month on Kraft macaroni and before it runs out. And then maybe I'll forage for a bit, you know? Or I'll like go to somebody I know and I'll be like, hey, I'm really sad right now because I ran out of my Kraft macaroni.
My macawonies. So you're very Sarah McLachlan, sweet surrender. wait, that thing, that TikTok that I sent you based on your zodiac sign, it was like belief, faith, belief is your armor.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I know if things are meant to go my way, they'll go my way, right? Like, that's just where I'm at in life. It is so weird to think about, like, manifestation, right? And think about astrology and think about, like, sign stuff in terms of, like, what's happening in other people's lives. That's devastation, devastating, horrific. And it's like this two sides of the coin of I want to do everything I can to be like helpful and like knowledgeable and try to find a way, a path to being useful to those people. But then on the other side of me, I'm like, what am I? I'm going to try. Like, I'm trying, you know, we're going to bring more news to it. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, what are the options to do, to be helpful?
Yeah. You know? There are not a lot of good ones.
No.
As and I see it, at least. What do I know?
It's also like there's not a lot of good ones. And the ones I can think of, I don't have the capability to do that. So I need somebody out there that has the capabilities.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Another mutual friend of ours was actually asking, I don't know what to do. Because it's just one of those times in life where like, it can be overwhelming listening to the news. I am, to no one's surprise, I am the type of person that needs to sift through a lot of information and learn a lot about what's happening constantly. And that is what makes me feel better. But that is not what makes everybody feel better. This one friend was like, I don't know what to do. Mm. And I think in those times, a very important lesson to try to keep reminding yourself of is to just focus on what you do have control of. So keeping yourself well to the best of your ability, taking small steps to take care of yourself to make sure that if ever an opportunity to help someone else presents itself, hey, you've already taken care of yourself and then you can help someone else too.
Yeah. I think that. Like mentally as well as physically, you know, and those two coincide so often. And like you have to like it, when your body is well, your mind is well. And when your mind is well, you have the motivation to move your body. So and both of those things are important. Also, like how you're carrying yourself in all the circles of people, right? Like work, family, friends, relationships, you know, if you're carrying yourself correctly or not correctly, but in a way that makes you feel proud and okay at the end of the day, then it's a way to be like, oh, okay, I can handle this if it comes my way, if somebody comes to me for advice. But it's just not my favorite time right now, I have to say. But I honestly can't remember a favorite time. You know?
There was this one summer in middle school when I was playing a lot of video games. But my favorite one was like, oh my God, it was Abe's Odd World. No, Abe's Exodus. It was the sequel to Abe's Odyssey. So, I was playing that. It's a 2D, you're a little alien, and you have to save all of your alien friends from capture, from you're capitalist hell. And you help them escape to the woods, back to the lifestyle that they love, and they can practice their religion freely. So I was playing a lot of that. I was drinking a lot of blue Kool-Aid, and my favorite sandwich lunch was like a pickle sandwich with mayonnaise and lettuce. It's okay. So good.
I love pickles and I love lettuce and I hate that I like mayo. You know, you just like don't love to say that you like mayo because it doesn't look the best. But when you put it on something, it is good. Now, you didn't want to have like, you just wanted pickles and lettuce.
And like, Kool-Aid. The radioactive blue Kool-Aid.
I'm thinking the best sandwich is like when you put the Doritos or whatever like inside of it. And then you're just like that was so good.
Crunchy. You like the texture. Okay. Picking up what you're putting down.
It's got to be crunch or I'm out.
Listen, I have not had a pickle sandwich for years, okay? But that was probably one of my favorite times.
Well, I'm going to go make a pickle sandwich after this because I need to know what the heck a pickle sandwich is. I mean, people have tomato sandwiches all the time.
Has to be cheap white bread.
Oh, yeah. The stuff that kind of gets sticky, stuck in your teeth a little, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Wonder Bread.
Oh, yeah. Or the whatever grocery store brand.
Is
no
Wonder
name bread.
Yeah, is Wonder Bread and stuff, is that like affordable still?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
know. I really don't know.
Like, I mean, you're living off burritos. Has it shifted? Has hyperfixation shifted yet? No.
No, I'm trying to space out the surrender to the call of the burrito, though. Yeah. Just because I know I should be getting more vitamins and nutrients than I am.
Hey, it's got beans. It's got beans. It's got beans. It's got cheese. It's got a
rice.
Little tortilla. Yeah. Plug. Meanwhile, I don't even have my like fancy water cup today. I just have a normal basic water cup today.
I love it.
Because I would always have my water cup because it was school and work and you have to have your water bottle and you fill it up.
Yes.
And, you know, and like now that I'm kind of never leaving this area, I haven't seen the outside world, I feel, in a long time.
No, that's not strange to me.
I've seen the park for about like half an hour at a time.
Ooh.
Walk
Bless
Arwen.
You, Lady Arwen.
Yes.
For motivating that.
But our rooms are still getting worked on. So I can't really move my car or my space gets taken and I have to fight. And yesterday I almost got in a car wreck because this minivan soccer mom comes just peeling out of a stop sign. I don't have a stop sign. And she almost runs over the foreman. The poor guy is just like, what's going on? And like, my car is there away from him, like it should be. Her car is like inches from this poor man's foot. And he's just like with his clipboard, like, ah, you know, and I'm just, you know, driving by and I'm like, you stupid. And then,
you know.
And then I just was like, you know, I'm going back into my room where there's no one there. And the only news I get is from people sharing videos with me, like Nico, telling me things that are happening in the world. And yeah, it's my life right now. So, Sons of the Forest, right? Survival game, horror. And when I was looking at it, it's kind of very realistic Minecraft because you have to like survive and there's zombies and stuff in Minecraft. They're not visually horrific, you know, they're not the best looking, but they're not. I don't look at them and go, oh, my God. But like in the Sons of the Forest, I kind of, you know, have that. So I've never played it. So 1 through 10, is it like the scariest thing or is it like mundane?
There are definitely 9 out of 10 moments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can like exist in those moments for a prolonged period of time trying to develop your strategy to survive. The mechanics are really great. They have some like crafting armor mechanics, which are very interesting.
Okay.
You can make like flesh armor.
Ew.
For certain cannibals. These are cannibals, too. These aren't zombies.
Oh, okay.
There are just many different types of mutant cannibals on the island. And they eat you.
Okay. So, because I was like, is this like a cult? A cultish?
You start to think that at the beginning. Culty. But it's like science. Based, and then there are massive perception shattering occult moments at the end. So
okay.
I love it. So good. The storyline is so good, believe it or not.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds, I'm intrigued now.
I was addicted. Chris was too.
Okay. Because I was like, survival game. Next spooky season, I want to dive in and get really like into the fear of it all. I was thinking about it, you know. Now, how creative is it, like for building wise?
Oh, or yeah, love it.
Okay,
so fun. Pages of things you can build. You can even unlock like rudimentary electricity and these survival cabins. Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Okay. I love a good build. So,
yeah. So satisfying. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I could spend hours building like a really good fortress.
Yeah. Like, I think like Fallout on your phone had like just the Fallout fort that you could do. And like you make your fort and like make sure everybody is like fed. You know, it's like Sims vibes or whatever. Anything that gives me the option to like test my strategy, I get addicted to, because I'm like,
yeah.
I want to see if I'm doing it.
The storyline is also through multiple biomes on this very isolated island, so those challenges change, and the puzzles are challenging. There are puzzles and they are challenging, so you have to figure out like which locations on this remote island you should be going to first. So that's a little frustrating, maybe.
In the beginning.
For a lot of beginners, yeah.
Okay. That's cool. I like that. I like the different biomes. I like the different challenges.
Oh my God.
And did you play...
Blood-curdling screams during your first winter you're trying to survive? So good.
Did you play Myst and Riven?
Myst, yes. Riven, no.
Okay. Because puzzles made me think of it. I played both of those. My parents played those when they first came out, and they were like up late together, like in the basement. I'll never forget. My mom has like a notepad of symbols and stuff, and like my dad and her like arguing back and forth about like where they should interact with first. And my mom's like, "Well, I figured this one out." And then, anyway, it was kind of like a cute thing that I didn't appreciate at the time when you're a kid. You just are like, my parents are being so weird right now.
Why are they fighting?
Or like, they're like staying up really late. That's weird. You know, like that kind of thing. And then now I'm like, oh, they were bonding. You know, like you have to keep bonding throughout your relationship. And I just think that was, that's just some, it was a cute moment. It was like wholesome. A wholesome,
absolutely.
A wholesome.
Even though they were arguing, they were problem solving together.
Yeah, it was never like an argument where I was like, "No, you know that." Yeah, that wasn't one of those. It was just a, "Wow, they're fired up down there.
They know what they want."
Yeah, yep. I'm too tired for this. I'm a child.
Have you heard? What about like there was this computer game called Descent, and then also like Magic Carpet Ride or something like this, and you collected mana on a magic carpet. These were like early PC games. Like
I don't remember Magic Carpet Ride. Descent, is that like from the like it is the movie The Descent? Okay, so it's not like scary like that.
I think it's like a spaceship. Can't remember.
There was 80 Days Around the World, Around the World in 80 Days.
Yes.
I loved that one. The meatball, I still think about that meatball and him eating it finally and satisfied. And
I've
that might
never
be...
played it, but that is the best hook you could have provided.
I was like, that might be a niche memory for some people. Like if you played it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you won't. Maybe you weren't food fixated like I was. But I was like, why can't he stab the meatball? And you had to like solve something and then it allowed him. And then you saw him eat it and it was very satisfying because it was like,
excellent.
Yes.
Very cool.
But you're like in a hot air balloon and all this stuff. And it was cool. So I think about building games specifically because I used to tell my mom I wanted to be a construction worker. Like I wanted to be a builder or an architect. You know, whatever. And they didn't like this idea when I brought them. Like my parents were just kind of like,
they couldn't picture their child in a hard hat or.
I think it was like that where it goes to show about like gender norms and like how they shift and how things are shifting. And like, a lot of people love to say that women don't like doing this kind of stuff and, you know, whatever. But if no one had told me, like, are you sure about that? Like, if no one had, I could have very well enjoyed crafting because I had Lincoln Logs, the Kinects, I had Legos. I was always in the basement building intricate things, like not just houses. And even in Minecraft, I don't like building a normal house. And I don't like looking at templates. I like doing what I want to do. So I was just like thinking of this because I've just heard a lot recently of like the discourse that comes around, that cyclical discourse of men versus women. And it comes up generationally in a different way. And we'll reach a moment of like, no, yeah, we're good. And then all of the sudden, there's like a freaking pot stirrer that comes up, whether it's red pill community or different pop culture of
Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah, like over-sexualization. When does it come like you own your own sexuality? When is it coming to the point of like you're doing it just because of men? It's like this whole thing. And it's like, well, if you just let me be a construction worker, like just let me do it. You know, don't look at me like I'm a weirdo because they say I want to be a construction worker, you know, or like, oh, you couldn't handle it, you know, being hot in the hot sun and you know, whatever. Meanwhile, I taught PE, and in Florida, we don't have gymnasiums. So I'm outside in the 100-degree index. I'm slathering sunblock all over me. The heat is not, and I'm dealing with 40 freaking kids, okay? So it's hard
work. The Olympics.
You know? Yeah. Then you just start seeing those, like, shallow things cropping back up again. And I'm just like, why are we still arguing about the same things?
This is so real because when the Sabrina Carpenter album dropped, I didn't think fucking anything of it. I truly didn't even think twice. I was just like, I wonder what Dolly sound she'll come out with next because I'm obsessed with Dolly Parton. And yeah, basically all of these think pieces started popping up on Substack. You realize that like Gen Z is just filled to the brim with people that are very regressive from what you and I may have culturally grown up with. And I'm just reminded of like the weird things that used to happen from 2010 to 2016.
Yeah. And I feel like things keep coming up and you would think with the internet
and history, but that's, you know, whatever.
You would think that, you know, the records are there, but I think
read them.
Yeah. Go to the archives. Go look it up. But I just think that's, I remember how pick me and pretentious I was when I was in late high school, college, you know, moments that you think of and you're like, ugh, I can't believe I said that. You know, like you still cringe about it. These guys are still in their cringe phases and they're still clinging to these ideas that they had that they thought were profound and new. And they're not. Like, most people know that men and women are not very different in terms of what they like and what they don't like. But within our groups, there's people that like things that make us go, wait, what? Like me, I would like going outside and building a house. Is that a weird thing? I don't think so, because in my head, it's not. You know, then there's not a lot of, my husband isn't like, oh, I really want to go outside and build a house. He's not thinking like that. He's thinking of other tasks that he finds enjoyable, like pressure washing, that I'm like, why are you into pressure washing? He'll watch pressure washing videos. He bought a pressure washer, went out, and he's out there, and he's enjoying life, okay?
That's Chris's dream.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. My mom loves pressure washing, right? Are you going to say that only men love to go outside and pressure wash? Or is it more women, because they like things clean and tidy. That's not me either.
I have a hypothesis. I actually think it's neurodivergent people that like to pressure wash. So satisfying to watch the grime just peel away.
Yeah, maybe also like a low frequency of anxiety. Right? Like,
yeah,
you're watching, like, that's why those satisfying videos blow up the way they do, because after you're working all day long and you're watching someone cut the cake perfectly or building
push
something,
the blacktop in front of the garages down the driveway.
Yeah. Or that guy that cleans windows, like his thing like popped off because we are stressed out. We don't want to think. And now I get to watch somebody make something pretty, you know, and like freshen it up. Will I go and wash my windows? No.
Nor will I.
I won't. Will with his pressure washer and he'll have time.
And he'll
love it. He'll love it.
Perfect. Oh, that's so funny.
I can't believe that. That is. See, like they're going to be best friends. We already know. I'm going to tell Will immediately.
The Capricorn in me doesn't want to waste any time around people that I don't like if I'm not being compensated.
Right. I totally get that. Is that maybe like this is where the narcissistic tendencies, I think, can come out in all people, right? Because when I said this, it might have been jarring or whatever. But everything in life should have a purpose and go towards productivity in some way. And that doesn't mean monetarily necessarily for me, okay? That means, am I making you feel good? Are you making me feel good? If you're not doing either of those things and I'm not for you, let's just nix it. Now, I'm sorry if I'm making you feel really good, you're not making me feel good, I'm nixing it.
That's just good boundaries. And it takes a long time for people pleasers to learn that. I can say that from experience. Like, I'm just in that season of my life where you learn that, like, doing things that you do not like to do or that don't make you feel good or that even make you feel bad makes a person miserable. And that's no way to go through life, right? If you have any control over it.
Right, exactly. And
life's full of suffering. Can we minimize the suffering?
As the Buddhists say, okay? But I just feel like one time I was like, if I can't see there's a usefulness with this individual in my life further, short term or long term, right? Then I'm not going to waste my time watering the grass there because I'm doing all the work. I hated that story, the little red hen and
baking. Poor little red hen.
She's doing all this work.
I loved it though.
Yeah, because she was like, you ain't getting any of this.
Exactly.
This is mine. Yeah, that's how I felt. That's how I felt too. Because I was like, yeah, she shouldn't share. And I remember there being like a debate. This is how weird my memory is. Okay.
Justice for the little red hen.
I remember things from like first grade and before that. And we had a debate. And I remember being like, why should she share with them? And they were like, because that's what friends do. Friends share. And I was like, they're not her kids. They're not. She's not in charge of these people. Like, she did all the work. I'm not. Good for her. Don't share your bread.
That's right. Damn Skippy. Also just such a huge fan of like the premise of karma. It's like how could you possibly go through life just taking? Like that is just feels so it's gotta feel so awful if you're aware of it and like, you know, people need to grow.
But I feel like if I feel like I haven't been productive and for somebody, like, for example, like for you and I, if I know, like, I have a big project coming up, like Indie Creator Collective coming up, right? Like this collection coming out. And I know that I need to do stuff. If I'm not working on it, even if I can't work on it yet, because I'm still like in the waiting process for a lot of things. I still feel like, oh my God, is Nico going to be like, wow, you haven't done anything? But like, I know you're not like that, but that's how I feel. So I couldn't imagine not having like that thought of like, am I showing up enough for someone else? Like, am I, you know?
Mm-hmm. You hopefully know? With time, it'll be more like just a dialogue between two parts of yourself and not as much anxiety. But no, I feel the same way. I felt so seen when I realized that in agreeing to create art for you, it was actually going to make me do it because I'll always back burner my own things. But if it's for somebody else, I'll always like make sure I make the time to do it. So,
and then it kind of like jump starts you, you know, like
yeah, 100%.
I feel like last week, and I won't be able to do it, like, as I really wanted to do the Nocturnal Narrators, her submission, right? I really uh-huh. wanted to do it, but there was just no way. I have two short stories going right now. I have the one for the Curious Post to send off to you, which will hopefully get to you by the end of the month. Like, I'm really, you know, years are grinding. And then I have the other one for the anthology, and I can't control, I mean, for the collection. I try to use anthology for you, collection for me, so that way it's not confusing. but I can't tell my brain what to feel inspired on. So if I'm feeling inspired on the one story, I've got to go with it. But then I need a branch, okay? I need it to sprout for the other one. So it's like a weird thing. And I was like, there's no way I can put a third branch on my tree of creativity right now if I want some flourishing. So
yes.
I've got to focus. And then I was so burnt out because I had written the rough draft all the way out for you. And then I
had you're written, a handwriter. Oh,
and then I wrote my other one, just the outline, like sparse. And then this week, I've been like, why am I so dead? Why am I so tired? And then it's like, oh, yeah, because you're literally burnt out. You literally just spent so much creative energy, even though you don't have an end result yet. It doesn't mean you haven't done stuff.
Ooh, what, you know? Wisdom.
Yeah,
that's
I got
to know.
I just got that now by talking it out with you. So this is why these are important.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I just learned from that.
Yeah.
Unraveling.
It's like you got to follow the yarn all the way there and get to the core of it. And then I swear, like our recording sessions are a way, in a way of like a housekeeping session for our brains. Because it's kind of like, this is what I've done all week. This is what I've seen all week. This is the horrors unfolding outside of my walls, outside of borders, outside of everything. And here's the reality of what we can do and, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Keeps it all straight. Keeps us sane.
The white noise kind of like dissipates and it's like,
yeah.
And I don't know if any listener out there or anybody else has a similar problem. I don't know what that's the word I'm going to use. But I create false expectations of the people in my life for me. So right now, and periodically, obviously, Nico and I talk like periodically, even though we're like, don't talk about that yet.
Save it for the pod.
But even when, like, I'll just use this as an example, like for Will, when he comes home, I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, what did I do today that is good for him, right? Like, did I empty the dishwasher? Did I do this? Did I do that? And those are basic things, but not all of us have that many spoons in a day to do basic things when we're spending so much energy on other things, right?
I don't know what that's like.
What?
I don't know what that's like.
You always have spoons. You're always ready.
No, I feel called out because there's this huge pile of hair where my dogs hang out that needs to be vacuumed. It's shedding season. Like all of the clean laundry, the door has to be closed to the laundry room, the dressing room that we have.
Yeah.
Because all the clean clothes are on the floor and then the hair would get into. So I have systems, but then there, nothing's getting done.
No, I know. I see. It's like a similar thing. And I'm lucky enough that Will doesn't come home and chastise me or tell me like, what have you been doing all day, you know, and or make demand proof of productivity. He's never done that. Other people in my life have demanded proof of productivity. Arwen,
I saw my thing light up and I was like,
she brought me Sammy the Salmon.
Love it.
No, so you do this to me all the time. I need to start locking you out of here. But she would be even more annoying. She would be like clawing and, you know, whining, everything else.
She's allowed.
But because of that, when he's not around, though, I place in my head, oh, I need to have a list that shows that I've done X, Y, Z, like I've spent my time correctly, appropriately in order to be good.
And your worst case scenarioing.
Right. And so that will happen with all the people in my life. Like I will jump to like, what have I done to offend everybody when I haven't really done anything? Like, I haven't really talked. And then I'll be like, oh, my God, you haven't talked to anybody all week. Nobody wants to be your friend anymore. So like I said, I don't know what that problem is called, but I have that problem. And it's nice now as I'm getting older, I'm calling myself out on it more of like, that's that's a lie inside your head. That's not just like a voice. That's you.
Yeah.
And you have to unravel
it. The only thing that helped me figure that out, I used to kind of be a similar way. And I didn't know that I was that way. I was doing that, making drama where there was none. Mm-hmm. would be to not like the distance of time and not having people like that around.
Yeah. And now that I've sort of trimmed my circle, you know, and gotten like whittled it down to professional relationships, friendships, and, you know, all that, it's when there's something productive coming out of a situation, I feel better. And I now that I know that about myself, I'm like, okay, I surround myself. Like, I never just go to a bar and have a drink. I have to go to a bar that has a dartboard or a pool table, something that gives me something that we're doing that explains why we're even there. You know, like, I can't just like get loaded.
Good.
Yeah.
Very cool. Healthy habit.
Healthy habit.
Excuse me. Nice to sometimes just go places. But I'm wondering how much I romanticize that because I just don't do it anymore as much.
Yeah, it's like if I'm just going. The other day was the most perfect happy accident, and it has to do with Taco Bell, so I know that you're going to appreciate it.
I'm in.
So we accidentally ordered our food from the wrong Taco Bell, from like a far away one.
Worst.
So we had, and it was too late because the bell donged. Okay. We had to do it. Will not let a coupon or a deal go. So he already paid for it. Like, we have to go. That's just a neurosis that I appreciate from him. It's okay. But we have to end up going to one that's by the beach, which is by this like cute little town. So we got the food. We find a couple of chairs that are just like looking out on the water, not the ocean. Well, the intercoastal. And we're just like chilling there, eating, talking. All these fancy people are around us. Like, they're all dressed up to go to like vacation dinner, you know, like ritzy, ritzy, you know, whatever. And we're just sitting there just like with our brown paper Taco Bell bag, Baja Blast, just chilling on like ledges, you know. And then we have like these like Lily Pulitzer people like frolicking around us and like kind of looking at us like, but you know, they were jelly because
of course
we had Taco Bell and a view.
You had a real moment.
Yeah, it was so great. And it was like we went somewhere, we didn't plan it. Like, I love that kind of spontaneity. When I don't have to think about being spontaneous.
Yeah.
You know?
A real life moment is what a prior friend and I used to call those.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a cute little, like, for a book, you know, like putting a little acronym in for, like, friendship. I put one in mine, not RLM, obviously, but something similar.
That would be a synchronicity.
I know. I would be like, oh my God. But it was it's always like a little bit more anchoring into like the persona and relatable for me. Cause like, remember, like, I never watched Lizzie McGuire or whatever, but you know, those shows where they have like catchphrases and shit.
Cool. I'm down.
Yeah, it's like, I want my book to have, like, a catchphrase that's not cheesy and weird, but funny.
Yeah.
Arwen now has brought me a ball, so we'll see what I get next.
Could be anything. Could be that fish from the other day. Not the salmon. There's, like, a blue fish, I think.
That's a dragon, and she loves her dragon.
Okay.
She has taken care of it for 2 years.
What a sweet baby.
You have a similar breed of dog. Do they destroy toys? Oh, okay. I was like, maybe it's the breed. She doesn't like to destroy toys.
The my dog, the big boy, the puppy, who's like a year, just over a year old, he is still destroying them. He has a favorite that he kept for 6 months and would tear apart the other ones. But
it's funny.
It might just be because he's a puppy.
Yeah. It's also funny when they choose a favorite. I love that. They just choose a favorite and then they probably get so sad when they lose control and just destroy it. And yeah. Sometimes I'll come home and there'll be like fluff on the ground from like the toys she doesn't take, like similar.
Yeah.
And we had like Ellie the elephant and she had Christmas colors all over her. And I came home and she's dead. Then I go, oh no, did you murder Ellie? And then her ears are down. Like she's like, I didn't mean to. Don't look at me meanly. It's just like the cutest. Wholesome thing.
We had an Ellie the elephant.
No, you too.
Who he got for Christmas. And he murdered it. Her. She had crinkly ears. It was the elephant from the Island of Misfit Toys.
Was it green and red?
It was white with pink dots. So like from the Rudolph animation. Yeah.
All right. No. Okay. I was about to say. Like. Because it had crinklies and stuff, but
yeah.
She had crinkly ears, everything. And so I've named every toy. Do you name every dog toy?
Every toy gets a name!
So I have Oliver right now, and Oliver the pizza guy, he's got a pepperoni pizza in one hand and a cheese pizza in the other hand. And we always go, hey, I'm Oliver, I got the pizza. And then she's just like, yeah. And then she picks either cheese or pepperoni to hold on to.
Oh my god, that's so cute. Krampus was the favorite toy from Christmas up until now. He just ripped a hole in Krampus's mouth.
You shut up.
He has a really bassy squeak in his big giant Krampus head. So like, I think that's probably why it was his favorite.
Okay, so you say Krampus. I say Krampus.
Krampus.
So, what is it? Is it like a dialect thing? I'm probably wrong because I pronounce things incorrect, and people sometimes think I'm doing it on purpose. I literally have only either read words, okay,
yeah,
or I've heard the word in a book or something, but I don't know how it's spelled because I'm just hearing it. So then when I see it for the first time, you know, I'm mispronouncing it. And it's fun.
Well, the word is what? Germanic. So you're just pronouncing it the American way.
Yeah. I'm pronouncing it like I'm from the Northeast.
Yeah. We could fight about this. Are you ready to fight about something?
Yeah.
Is Maryland really the Northeast?
Okay. This is the thing. I have two things.
Okay.
All the small states, Maryland and above, right? Okay, so you got Maryland, New Jersey, Vermont, Massachusetts. They're all tiny. Delaware, tiny little states, okay? Pennsylvania is big. So you have all these. In some history books, Maryland is depicted as the South. And in other history books, Maryland is depicted as the North. And I like to think of it that it's just because it's very split, because Virginia and West Virginia are right there. But then you've like got Pennsylvania, New York, right there. So I would think it's like a melting pot of effed up extreme views in history. But I also think it's a good dynamic of these are how people with extreme views, a representation, you know what I mean? Everyone's represented in Maryland in a certain way.
America's dinner table.
You got MR Ducks, right? Like, which is like a brand of T-shirts that makes fun of how Marylanders talk. MR Ducks, MR Real Fine Ducks, right? And it's a t-shirt. It's like a company. They make like shirts, and I'm sure they make more than that now. Maybe they've pivoted. I don't know. But whenever I talk in, like, I've only been to Alabama one time, but when I was there, everybody's like, oh, are you from New York? Because they say, like, dog and coffee and, like, the O's are different, right? They come out. I go to Boston and they're like, oh, I hear a Southern accent on you. And I'm like, I guess, you know. And then I moved to Florida where it's like a weird accent cesspool down here. It's like, you never know. So I'm not fighting.
Yeah. If it's one, listen, it's one of the original 13 colonies, right? So maybe, I don't know, is it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's got to be.
It is. I think it's, yeah, I.
It's so small, it's got to be.
I think it was a part of Philadelphia, I think, right? Like, I think the 13 colonies, maybe. I think so. I feel like I wouldn't remember unless it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was.
Because of how it was, like, taught. Like, yeah. In Maryland, you go to any state. In Florida, maybe it's because I wasn't an elementary schooler, okay? I don't know about you for Maine, but, like, in school, it was how your state was the best state. Like, was that how you were taught, too?
But Maine is.
Okay. Listen.
I'm just kidding. Listen. I'm just kidding. Don't come for me.
I don't know much about Maine other than it's rocky and cold all the time.
Love it.
I personally love that. I would love to live up there, the national parks. Maryland, on the other hand, has all types of topography and climate. This is how it was described to me as an elementary schooler. You've got the plains, you've got the mountains, you've got the seashore, right? You've got everything you could ever want. We got deciduous trees. We got some, like, tropical. We got some tropical shit going on. Like, every teacher was telling me a different thing of why Maryland was the coolest place to ever live. We got Mount Vernon, just a, like, a hop, jump, and skip away. We got Monticello down the street. We got this, we got that, you know, like, all this stuff all the time. We had this thing called the Billy Goat Trail. And when you talked about, or when I read some of your factoids about, I guess not 14ers, 4,000 footers.
Yeah, yeah.
It made me think.
Tans.
Yeah, on the mountains, there was the Billy Goat Trail. And I almost called you a Billy Goat in my shout out post because, like, Billy Goat.
Yeah.
And you could choose either the hard Billy Goat Trail or the easy Billy Goat Trail. I don't know what my parents chose. I'm assuming they chose the easy Billy Goat Trail. I was 6 or 7. They're not doing the hard ones. But you had to actually climb up stuff.
Rock scrambles. Love that.
It was so much fun. And I don't know all the terms, but my parents met in the Outlanders Club, which is literally climbing mountains. And they met like that. My dad was all into, like, rock climbing. So any time we go on vacation, we think, is there a mountain nearby? Or we don't want to go. Because now we have to we live by the beach. So we're like, no more beaches.
Yeah. Not a big fan of beaches. Maine has sandy beaches and no sharks most of the year.
I like sharks, so that's not a selling point for me. But
great white sharks?
I mean,
the only sharks we have are, like, great white shark attacks. That's the only time you know there's a shark there.
No, we have, like, every type of shark in Florida, like bull sharks.
Cute ones.
We have nurse sharks that love their bellies rubbed. It's actually really cute. But bull sharks will just get pissy you exist and just yank you down. But only in certain areas. It's not like, it's, don't want to fuel any childhood phobias about, like, sharks always coming at you. They don't really care about you. But I like a good cold Cape Cod esque, you know, beach scene.
Yeah.
But
we
got those. Yeah. I have been craving, like, a good just beach bum time. I don't want to live there.
With a book?
Yeah, with a book.
With a good book.
A good book and a nice cup of coffee and maybe some daiquiris later, you know?
Oh, my God. Hand to God.
I honestly don't know. Like, Maryland has an accent. Like, I hear it when I call home. It's home, right? I hear it all the time. But mine mutated when I moved down here to be more like New York because there's so many New Yorkers in Florida. So,
yeah,
I was
Boca Raton.
Yeah, I was like already there. I was like Long Island-y enough, you know? And then I just hear one friend with a little twang and I'm like, I'm there with you. Give me the pasta.
Oh, my God. So the slip into other accents that you've grown up around is so easy and people make so much fun of a person for doing it, but it's so hard not to do.
I know, because sometimes I'll be like, if I'm scared, like, or get shocked or whatever, I go, oh, my God. Like, it sounded really forced there because I'm not naturally, I say, oh, my God. Okay. But like, if I'm like actually scared and I say it like that and then they're like, and then I get made fun of, I'm like, okay, I can't help it.
It just came out.
I really want to go to a lake, a body of water that's like a lake house where you dive in. You don't really have to worry about anything except maybe a cryptid or two, you know?
A leech.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, I forgot about leeches.
Leeches are gross, dude.
Yeah. But maybe they'll cleanse me.
We must bleed the fever from her brain.
Arwen. Oh, sorry. The cat was underneath me and the dog, and they all threatened to unplug my entire life.
So I've been listening to a couple of the, like, one and a half of the Haunt and Gather podcasts. Baginski's, and it made, because I remember you saying that you used to always want to do like a ghost hunt or some kind of paranormal adventure, one of the two.
All
right
of them.
Like yeah. So I wanted to ask you if you've ever done anything like that before, and I think that maybe we could talk about it on a different episode maybe.
Yeah, I don't have anything specific that I seek out, but I do have a lot of astral projection stories that are like that were scary. But